The College Hockey Experience Frozen Four Picks and NCAA Men's Hockey Tournament Bracket episode on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's US-based and available in 40 different states. Head to cut.com. That's K-U-T-T.com. Use that promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pickup for a chance to win 100 times the amount of money you can enter in NHL, NBA, MLB, college basketball, and much, much more. Sign up today using the promo code TCE SGPN to get 100% deposit match. We're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets. Yes, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com. Use that promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today, people. And remember, as always, folks, to let it ride.
Hey, this is Derek Stevens. I'm the owner of Circa Las Vegas. You're listening to SGPN. Let it ride.
Yes! Woo-wee. Welcome! Welcome to the College Hockey Experience Frozen Four Picks Preview NCAA. NCAA Hockey Tournament Bracket Reveal Show. And we're excited to bring this to you. We've never done this before. If you're wondering just who the fuck you're listening to, you're saying, who the hell is this idiot? I am the host of the College Basketball Experience, the host of the College Football Experience, host of the College Baseball Experience. And, we figured we love the Frozen Four each and every year. Why not just do a little episode as their tournament? We love a good bracket. We love a good bracket. And we got a bracket. We got games. We got great college fans going out there. That is the heartbeat of all sports, college athletics. If you're wondering who the hell you're listening to, though, my name is Colby Swiggin, Database Dan, a.k.a. Pick Dundee. That's not a pick. This is a pick.
He was raised in the land down under, where a man thinks on his feet, speaks with his fists, and lives by his wits.
When Dundee happened, he was a superstar.
I'm probably drinking too much and celebrating too much and not sleeping. Would have killed a normal man, but now that's gone. The medical advice I got from that was like being hit by lightning. Pretend it never happened and get on with your life.
Yes, 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 we are here. YouTube.com/the College Experience. Go check this out. Also, shout out to the NHL Gambling Hockey Gambling Podcast. They always, we're basically hijacking their feed, all right?
Their StreamYard studio.
Yeah, we're in there just wrecking shit. They're going to sign in tomorrow and everything's going to be all fucked up because that's what I do in life. I go in and I fuck up things,
Look at the logo in the back.
Yeah, that's look awesome. At that. It's like playing ice hockey, that old Nintendo game that was fantastic. And look, shout out to all these hockey fans. And look, I should throw in there that I also am going to be hosting the CFL Gambling Podcast this year. But I am joined by my co-host. This guy is also the host of the College Baseball Experience. Avid, just big time Detroit Red Wings fan. And also the guy behind the scenes on the College Basketball Experience, the College Football Experience. Give it up for Noah Beanick. How you doing, brother?
What's going on, Colby? Yeah, I've always had a keen eye for college hockey, mainly a Michigan Wolverines fan. However, Michigan in general for hockey is a hotbed, along with Minnesota and the Northeast.
The Dakotas.
Anything.
Don't forget Arizona State. I feel like all of a sudden they got fans down there.
100%. Anything with a bracket always attracted me as a kid. So I loved printing out my Frozen Four bracket, filling it out, printing out like three or four different versions. I make multiple versions. I enter multiple brackets in the multiple pools. And we get this thing going. And with the legalization of online sports betting, They've got betting odds for every game of the NCAA hockey tournament. So let's go.
That's and look, I see Jesse Reynolds in the chat saying, do y'all bet NHL? I mean, I pretty much bet anything. I'm one of the guys that had a couple grand riding on a marble race during COVID. So yes, yes, we bet everything. I was on the Vegas Knights against the St. Louis Blues last night. And yeah, I mean, I tended to dabble more into NHL. I would say I love betting the playoffs more so than regular season, but I still bet the regular season. You know, how about you, Noah? You jump in on action all the time, or?
We make fun of the snorkelers in college basketball, college football, college baseball, rightfully so. But I admit I am a snorkeler in college hockey, NHL. I bet on the big games. I bet on the playoffs. I bet on the NCAA tournament. That's when I kind of show my head around. And who knows? Maybe if this thing catches on, well, next year there might actually be a college hockey experience. Who knows?
Hey, Rome wasn't built overnight. Shout out to Aveta, who goes, I don't know anything about hockey, but I'm trying to learn from y'all. That's what we do here. You know,
this show is only a thing because I've posted so many fights and so many big hits videos on Twitter. Hashtag college hockey experience to get Colby's attention.
Well,
that's the only reason why this show is a thing.
Sometimes I go down rabbit holes. If you knew me, I know half this audience probably says, who the fuck is this guy talking? But I happen to spend about, I'm just going to go ahead and say 7 to 10 days a year where I go down a rabbit hole of just watching hockey fights for about 5 hours. And it's absolutely awesome. It's one of the sports that embraces fighting, which I like. I've been on many shows. I tell this story all the time that I was doing. Remember that there was a Kansas State basketball game, where a guy picked up a chair, but didn't use it as it was like a fight, but no one fought. And, I was hoping that they fought, but I remember doing, I think it was Tampa radio or Miami radio the next day. And I was a guest on the show with like three or four other hosts. And they're like, hey, everyone, you know, they go one by one. What do you make of this situation that happened there in Kansas? And, you know, everyone's talking about how horrible it was, bad for the sport. It got to me and I'm like, what are you fucking talking about, guys? They play one more time. And their only bad thing is there wasn't any punches thrown, because that is always good for rivalries, for sports. That's why I'm with hockey. Let's go. Shout out to Mel. He goes, I bet NHL more than any other sport. There we go. I mean, there's a great edge in NHL.
Shout out to Capper too. He's a real one in the TC YouTube chat every freaking night. And he goes, since this is hockey, is it Pick Dundee?
Eh? Yes. Yes, it is Pick Dundee. Yes, that's not a pick. This is a pick, folks. We have a bracket. Anything else you want to add about our love for hockey? I know we've watched Mighty Ducks probably over 75 times in our life, and Slapshot, Paul Newman, fucking classic.
Oh, that's a great clip. Great
play. I do just love.
That's actually one that I've seen, Colby.
I know this guy hasn't seen fucking Ace Ventura, but he's seen Slapshot. I guess that works on this for this very podcast. All right, now let's jump into this bracket. We also shout out to the books out there that already have lines on all these games, because that was one thing I was questioning. I was like, are we going to have lines for this? Because last year, I mean,
drops Thursday.
Well, last year we cashed in on the Aqueduct, better known as Quinnipiac, in the championships there.
You did. I did not. Unfortunately, I kind of went with Max Attack, like with he loves the Big 12 in college basketball. I'm a Big 10 guy. Last year I ate shit. So, this year, I'm looking to change things.
There we go. Shout out to Mel. Says, I'm in Colorado. We love hockey here. There we go. There we go. Doesn't matter where you're at. And yeah, let's jump to it. But before we jump to it, I want to tell you that the college hockey experience is brought to you by, you are listening to the college hockey experience first ever episode on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. SGPN is home to 20 plus gambling podcasts that are all completely free. And in honor of March Madness, this week's featured shows are the Sports Gambling Podcast, the flagship show for SGPN, hosted by Ryan Real Money Kramer and Sean Stacking the Money Green, where the guys have picked every NCAA tournament game against the spread since 2012. And of course, the College Basketball Experience, hosted by myself, AKA Pick Dundee and Moneyline Mac, Ryan McIntyre and Noah Beanek as they continue their unmatched coverage of college basketball betting. Subscribe today to the Sports Gambling Podcast and the College Basketball Experience wherever you get your podcasts. We're also brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 different states. P2P social betting is a new and better way to bet. Bet directly against your friends or other users on sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes. Plus, there's a ton of fun social features that give it a feel of a betting social network, so to speak. And Cut also offers lower VIG and fully customizable odds. You can create your own bets. I was like, if we don't have odds, we got to get over to Cut. You know, I want to bet some bastards on this, but we do have odds on this. So it's all working out for us over here. Yeah, Cut gives you that possibility, you know, if you wanted to. And Cut handles the payment side of things, so you never gotta sit in the bushes, you know, waiting for old Billy Ray to come out of his house to give him a fucking shiner and then take the money that he owns you. So, hop on over there. They handle the payment side of things. You're never gonna have a problem. The social features include group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and much, much more. So download the Cut app today or head over to cut.com. That's KUTT.com. Use that promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Look, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Pick whether your favorite player will have a higher, lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. You can win up to 100 times the amount of money you enter in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players to build a pick'em entry. And obviously the more players you pick, the higher your odds go up. Sign up today with the promo code TCESGPN. Get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant pick'em special. Once again, visit underdogfantasy.com. Find them in the App Store. Don't forget to register with the promo code TCESGPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant pickup special. All right, we are back and we have a bracket. Yeah, I mean, here's one thing. I'm curious your take on this one, Beanick. I get it. Like a series sometimes is great, but I love the single elimination factor of this. Do you like that? I mean, I will say, like, I do remember, like, I think it was 2012 or I think it was 12, might've been 14, that the LA Kings, you know, I grew up in DC, a Washington Capitals fan. And I come out to LA and I my roommate was a diehard Kings fan, and I saw one of the craziest runs. I think it was 14. Was 14 the one where they were down like 3-1 every series and they came back each and every, like, I feel like the Sharks had them up 3-0, even in the third game they won like 7-1 or something. So it was an amazing ride the whole postseason. I've never seen a ride quite like that. I know with all sports, really, with MLB, with NBA, NFL, I never seen one like the Kings did one of those years. And that was cool because you saw the 7-game series play out. But I also love single elimination. That's why I love college hoops so much, I think. Do you have a preference?
My preference, if it would be feasible / reasonable, I mean, hockey is a physical game. It's tough to go 2-3 games a weekend sometimes, which they do 2 games a weekend in the regular season. I would personally love a 3-game series because hockey is somewhat of a sport that is a little fluky. There can be a bad penalty called every now and then, and some teams are deadly on a power play. So that's where I kind of can get touchy feely type thing, where I kind of hate the single elimination, especially if like my team's the one that gets eliminated. However, in a tournament like this, I don't have a problem with it. I don't have an issue.
It just leads to high drama though, because everything's like a game 7.
Yes. I would love it if this, I mean, I think the tournament is perfect the way it is. College hockey, for those that don't know, there's not more than 70 teams in D1. So 16 is actually like a perfect size for the landscape of it. There's still like a reasonable bubble, but also like 16 teams, just one game around, it's, you know, not enough sometimes.
fair. Also want to shout out this Channel Vodka from Rose City Distilling. Dean hooking us up there. They're out there in Oregon. I'm sure they're Dean's located in Seattle, but the distillery's in Oregon. Check that out. And I'm sure he's probably a Kraken fan. So, but anyway, let's hop into this. The first, and we're going to go bracket by bracket. We'll go through the games as we go through the bracket. Noah, we got some art. Once again, youtube.com/thecollegeexperience. Hit that like, yeah, hit that subscribe button.
We have some graphics.
I like Alfred 44 saying these games are fucking intense. Let's go. All right. So the first one, the Providence Regional, and I'd be curious. I want to get your opinion on what's the easiest, what's the hardest, and what's the one you want to watch most.
All right.
Providence.
I know what that's going to be.
And remember, all these games start Thursday. Thursday, there's a ton of action going on. I've already been eyeballing the schedule. I think we get started with UMass at 2 o'clock on, depending on your time zone, on Thursday. But this bracket, you have Boston College. Obviously, they're the one seed, I think, in the overall tournament. And Michigan Tech. Beanick, how far are you from Michigan Tech? I know you're located in the great state of Michigan.
That was like 7.5 hours for me. That's 6 hours north and probably like another hour west. They are in the UP. That is quite literally the farthest distance away from me. I am in southeastern Michigan, so not close.
Get on up there. I love the UP, man. I've been up there to Mackinac Island. It's fantastic. It's yeah. So Michigan
misunderstood
Tech,
for sure.
Yeah, Michigan Tech getting in, and they were hot to end the season. So I mean, I know they're taking on a powerhouse, but hey, at least they're coming in a little hot. The Wisconsin Badgers taking on the former national champions, the Quinnipiac Wildcats. I call them the Aqueduct. What was your first thought on the bracket before I dive into the games? Like this side, the Providence Regional. Do you think this is the easiest regional?
Yeah, I would say, if not the easiest, it's going to be the chalkiest. I have Boston College coming out of this regional. I really don't see any of these teams offering them too much of a challenge. So in those terms, yes.
All right. Well, I mean, we do have odds. We are forced to pick games. And if you're buying in to Michigan Tech, they are plus 470 on the money line. They are getting 2.5 on the puck line. Over under set in 6.5. You know, my first thought, I think, if you're going to play this, is it that crazy to take the over on this?
I think that's a good line. I think that's a good line only because if we're drawing similarities to college basketball in this college hockey NCAA tournament here, Michigan Tech is your NC State to a T, basically. Everybody knows of the program, and they knock on the door a few times when they get into the tournament. However, they haven't done anything significant since like the 1970s, if you know what I mean. You being an NC State hater, you probably know what I'm talking about.
Definitely.
Tech's DJ Burns is their goalie. Blake Pietola, he's a fifth-year senior, and he's been a stonewall lately. And his goals against average is 1.83 for Tech in the month of March, and that has sprung the Huskies into the NCAA tournament here. And honestly, kind of where they were projected to be in the preseason. They're supposed to be a top 20 team entering the year. They started off terribly. And they kind of picked it up in the middle of the year. Then they got hot at the right time. However, Boston College is the number one team in the country this year. For those that don't know, they're 31-5-1. It's been 8 years since BC made a Frozen Four, but if there was ever a team to snap that trend, it's this one. Coach Greg Brown was a player for BC, and then he was an assistant coach for the Eagles, which ironically was the last time that Boston College won a national title. That was actually during their three-peat run there. So for BC fans, it is a matter of if, not when, this team wins a national title. This team oozes talent, and most notably, it's Cutter Gauthier. I got to go from my baseball French to my hockey French here. It's Quebecian, more than ah. But yeah, Gauthier, if it's not for some meddling teammates, he would probably be the favorite to win the Hobey Baker Award, which is college hockey's Heisman, because Gauthier leads the nation with 35 goals. However, speaking of those meddling teammates of Gauthier's, there's a bunch of freshmen on this team that are really, really good. The trio of Will Smith, Gabe Perreault, and Ryan Leonard were all first-round NHL draft picks last year. All three of them were on the gold medal team for Team USA in the World Junior Championships last year. And now they have their collective eyes set on winning a national championship with Boston College. Will Smith leads the country with 67 points, and he scored 4 goals in the conference championship game. Perreault missed a handful of games late in the season due to an injury, but he's got 57 points, and then Leonard has 27 goals and 27 assists. In summary, those freshmen have just kind of set the world on fire. The key, in my opinion, to a good NCAA tournament run is a goalie in a groove, and BC has one of those too. Freshman Jacob Fowler. He led the – so in the USHL, it's basically – a high school league full of all-stars where they don't even play. They don't even go to high school. They don't even play for their high school teams. They're now playing in a national league, also including some Canadians. He was on the USHL Youngstown Phantoms. They won the Clark Cup last year. He was the MVP on that team. That was basically that league's Stanley Cup. During that run, Fowler only allowed 1.5 goals per game, which means he basically plays the best under the bright lights. So I'm on Boston College here. If that's any surprise,
I mean, do you lay the 2.5 though? I mean,
I would not. I think Michigan Tech's hot enough to where they could keep this to a 4-2, 3-1 game.
I mean, the money line is -750 though, man. So
yeah, the money line is pretty much unenticing. However, I think Boston College, I think BC moves on. So that's my handicap for this game. Now, if I were to give out one pick for it, I would say the under. I would say the under.
Interesting. So I was thinking my first reaction was maybe the over, considering that, you know, Michigan Tech, you look at what they did. I know they got hot at the end of the year, but they were 19-14-6. By the way, this game, 2 p.m. Eastern, ESPNU. Look, I normally have a rule I joke around with on the football and basketball show and even the baseball show that I hate taking Boston College Athletics, but I think you have to in this spot. They're the one seed over.
He doesn't have that rule.
Yeah. Mine is hockey. I believe in that rule. So you talked me into it. I'm going to back you on the under. I was going to say over, but what the hell do I know? I'm going to back you on the under. And let's go because I'm
excited. I just think both goalies are in a groove. Michigan Tech's offense isn't super powerful, whereas BC's is. You're going to hope that BC stays under 4. If you're aiming for a 4-2 hockey game, that gets you your under. That also is like that was a great play not laying the 2.5 on the puck line because that's kind of what they're enticing you to do here. That's my prediction. It's like a 4-2 final here. BC wins.
Let's go, Blades of Steel. Next up, we got Wisconsin. Hey, they won a national championship. What? I feel like in the past 20 years they got one. Take it on last year's national champ, Quinnipiac, the Aqueduct. This game is going on at 5:30 ESPN News, 5:30 Eastern. So on Friday. Both these games are on Friday, by the way. Beanick, I'm curious. Well, let me read off the odds, but I'm curious why is people doubting the reigning champs? Because Wisconsin's a 1.5-point favorite. All right. The over-under set at 5.5. Both -115, though, for the outright win, which is interesting. But the Aqueduct, you could get them at +1.5, -280. Where's the value in this matchup? And why is the reigning national champs being disrespected?
So 1.5 goal favorite. Don't go out here and get slaughtered by all the hockey fans listening into this show, hockey bettors. But I will say this one's a tight one. I mean, you have to have a puck line favorite going either direction. Somebody's got to be the -1.5 when you're betting hockey. But when you get a -115, are you seeing 115 both ways? I got -115, -105 in front of me.
Really?
But either way, like that's dead even. And I think it is. I mean, when you're looking at the pairwise rankings here, it's basically, the old BCS for college football, the ratings. That's what, the NCAA tournament, seedings go by. Wisconsin's number 8, Quinnipiac's number 9. But Wisconsin has not played great since the calendar turned to February. I can tell you, I can't really tell you why that is, but I can tell you that the Badgers are just 7-6 since February 2nd. Then they lost 2-3 to Ohio State, which was the worst team in the Big Ten this year in the first round of the tournament. And the Badgers, they've seemed to just lost their early season mojo. And because Wisco lost in the first round of the conference tournament, usually that doesn't happen to the top 16 teams in the country. They did get in that large here, but the Badgers haven't seen game action in almost 3 weeks. So that's not the type of momentum you want to have here going into a game against the defending national champions. Both Wisconsin and Quinnipiac play similar styles of hockey. This is going to be a, you know, park the bus, drag this thing out, slugfest. And I favor the Bobcats in that game script. Bobcats head coach Ryan Pecknold has been doing the damn thing.
Did I say Wildcats earlier? They're Bobcats. Yeah, my bad.
Maybe.
Yeah.
He's been doing the damn thing for a long ass time. He has real program momentum here. A lot of guys return from last year's national championship squad. I like Quinnipiac. Honestly, I think they've got, the better momentum entering this game. And plus, I don't have the defending champion losing game one here. So give me them on the money line.
Well, they all have the home edge too, man.
Yeah. I mean, they are in kind of their area, their neck of the woods. That's something that I'll handicap a little bit further as we go more into this tournament here. Cause I think there's definitely more spots where the fan base and the travel distance definitely favors a team. Wisconsin's got some passionate hockey fans. I think they'll show up. But Quinnipiac at even money or slightly as a dog, I like the Bobcats here. I wouldn't take the +1.5 just because it's -280, and I'm only saying that because, I mean, we don't know the type of hockey bettor we're attracting with this show yet. We don't know what our demographic is. But, no, I would not lay the 280 with the +1.5. But the under 5.5 is enticing too. But just give me Quinnipiac on the money line. That's my favorite pick for this game.
Yeah, don't underestimate the heart of a champion. They did it last year. Wisconsin's been asked to end the season. I'll be honest. I mean, I think the Aqueduct's going to give Boston College all they can handle in this tournament. So in this region, I should say. Give me a little surprise. Give me the Aqueduct, heart of a champion. Take down Boston College. Come out of this region. You?
I'm on Boston College. I said it earlier. However, Quinnipiac's got what it takes to knock off a team that is of caliber as Boston College, I would say. So they got the play style to do it. However, give me BC.
Go in, Chuck. Chuck Beanick. Let's head over to Maryland Heights. This one is so.
Let me start off by saying, holy shit, this is an awesome regional. Like when you were saying, which one do I want to watch most? It's this one. Which one's the tougher draw? This one. Which one is, going to be very hard to predict? It's this one. So take whatever I say, honestly, with a grain of salt. And I'm going to also just say this up top. How can I pick against Michigan? I mean, give me the Wolverines. What has happened here with the Maryland Heights regional? Basically what they did was Lindenwood's the host here. However, they didn't make the NCAA tournament. And basically the stadium only holds 2,500 people. Usually for the NCAA tournament, you want a stadium and arena that holds 5,000. However, That didn't happen this year. Because they gave St. Louis area a year to get ready because they're hosting the Frozen Four next year. That is what I've collected. So I think it's
I'm on board with this.
So I've got to be able to say, I think it's a total sham BS that we're not getting all of our fans into this building. Okay.
No, man, this it. Like I'm telling you, you're a Michigan fan. So you feel it a little bit differently from my perspective. Yeah. We don't play enough. I love a small, like, even I do stand up, even from that, I love a small, intimate crowd as opposed to a large crowd. I feel like we forget that sometimes. When I see these NFL games at the ridiculous stadiums, I just say, man, this is a soulless arena. Can you play this somewhere cool, somewhere that's got some heart, some soul to it? It's one of the reasons why I love college football or Cameron Indoor Stadium and college basketball. If you've been there, things like a high school gym. College football, there's some great little stadiums that really pack a punch.
All I'm saying is all four of these schools have bigger ice arenas than the one that they're going to be playing at. Michigan State has a very large fan base. This team is better than the past decade's worth of teams. They're a very excited fan base. They're very pissed off. North Dakota has maybe the biggest hockey fan base. The
Fighting
biggest
Hawks, let's section. Go.
Maybe the biggest student section. They are also very pissed off. Another large student section with Michigan, another passionate fan base with Michigan. They are also very pissed off. And Western Michigan's best athletic team is the hockey team. They are also very pissed off. So these are not a happy four bunch here. I'll tell you that, which is going to make for some great hockey.
Yeah, and Andrew Hammett in the chat say Wisconsin's well rested. Don't underestimate the Badgers.
It goes both ways. Do you go rest or rust?
Yeah.
I go with rust.
Well, the first game, Michigan State. This is hilarious. Michigan State and Western Michigan, which is my sister-in-law. She went to both universities. I wonder who she's rooting for. I should have got the handicap on this, but Michigan State's 1.5 point favorite on the puck line. The total sitting at 6.5. The money line -270 for Sparty, but +200 for the Broncos. Also, the +1.5 on the puck line is -120. I mean, did they play in the regular season perhaps by chance?
No, they actually didn't, which is super surprising. Usually, our schools are very good about playing each other, but Western Michigan didn't play Michigan State or Michigan in the non-conference. Very weird.
So I think Western Michigan has all the edge here from a moment, like from like chip on the shoulder type of angle. You know, they probably didn't play Western Michigan because the likes of Western Michigan, you know, probably like they're the smaller school. You know what I mean? Michigan State can call their shots. It's Western Michigan that knocks on their door and says, "Hey, you want to play us?" They might say no. I don't know the backstory there, but I do think if you're a kid in you know Michigan, Wisconsin area, whatever, I think you probably get passed over sometimes by Sparty, or you know, and you end up at Western Michigan. So I am going to take that +200. Who gives a shit about the +1.5? I'm calling for the money line. Money line, buddy. Buck'em Broncos. Let's go. What are you doing here?
Yeah, I can attest to that. You want a backstory? I'll give you a backstory. So my cousin, my family is a big hockey family. I was kind of the only one that pursued college baseball out of the bunch. One of my cousins was good enough to go D1. And the opponent of his state final, was Chelios's son. Chris Chelios's son basically scored a goal in that state final, then received an offer from Michigan State. My cousin claims I was like 4 or 5 claims to have better stats than what Chelios put up that season. So he viewed that, you know, because he had the bloodline, he got the scholarship offer. My cousin then went to play for Western Michigan. So I could tell you there's hostility throughout the state. It's not just him, but I could tell you there's probably a couple of cases with Michigan homegrown players that, you know, wanted to go to state, the party school, and instead they ended up at Western Michigan, which I've said before on college football or college basketball shows. They're the weird school in Michigan, to be quite honest. They're the engineers. They're the ones that kind of just stay in on the weekends. They're those guys.
You know, a lot of people go to college for 7 years.
So for me, so it all starts on the back end for Michigan State. Their goalie, Trey Augustine, he's a Detroit Red Wing draft pick here. He stood on his head all season long. He's got a .918 save percentage. Coach Adam Nightingale is in his second season here at the helm at Michigan State. He's hammered the transfer portal here. And this is their first NCAA tournament since I think it was 2012 is the number. I don't know that to be a fact, but it's been a long ass time since Sparty's been in the NCAA tournament. And they've had a really good year. They're fourth in the country. Like I said, the transfer portal really changed and turned around the culture here in the Spartan hockey program. Even though there are a couple of Euros in this group, they call themselves blue collar hockey guys. They bring their lunch pail to the ice arena. And they bring an explosive offense too. The Spartans have 7 guys with double digits goals scored, and their freshman defenseman Artem Levshinov leads the team with 34 points, and he's a plus 26 rating wise. Michigan State, should they play Michigan in the second round? If they get there, if Michigan gets there, Sparty is 4-1 straight up against the Wolverines this year. Western Michigan, however, is a bipolar group. According to Mike McMahon from College Hockey Insider, Western Michigan's 6-8 against pairwise top 15 teams this year, straight up. However, they're plus 12 in goal differential. They're plus 100 in shot differential. They're plus 13 in expected goals scored, which is an advanced analytic for you there. The Broncos are an analytical darling. Basically, they've underperformed expectations here. When they lose, they get blown out. And when they win, they blow the teams the fuck out. Sam Colangelo has 23 goals. Dylan Went has 23 goals. Luke Granger has 14. I have Western Michigan pulling off the upset with you, Colby. Woo. Michigan State just won the regular season and the conference tournament in the Big Ten for the first time. And who the fuck knows? They just dumped the Gatorade. They beat Michigan in the Big Ten tournament final. Western Michigan's catching them at the perfect time to pull off an upset. This is your 4-1 this year, in my opinion. Give me the Broncos over.
Noah Beanick saying Sparty.
Better luck next year.
Now, I mean, I should say that you're a Michigan fan. So, I mean,
that,
you know,
that jersey right there. Nah,
but I'm taking these Broncos too. I think I love it when little brother gets a shot at big brother.
Plus 200 on the money line. Plus 1.5 is minus 120 there. Honestly, I love both of them. I would bet either one. If you don't feel comfortable well enough taking the money line against the one seed, take the plus 1.5. They are going to be live. Yeah, the Broncos play up to the competition.
All right. And then obviously the other one, which I feel like we should have him leave the room right now. Michigan, North Dakota. North Dakota's laying 1.5 on the puck line, plus 180 on that, minus 1.5. Michigan, plus 1.5, obviously, and minus 238. The over-under set at 7. Money line is North Dakota Fighting Hawks minus 120, Michigan minus 110. So pretty even on the money line almost. Well, you know, Michigan, I have a theory.
What's the theory?
I've told you this, like you can't dominate multiple sports at once. You can't.
It's true.
You can't.
Maybe
you saw it with Michigan basketball. Where'd they finish in the Big Ten this year?
Last.
It's because they won the national championship at football. Right. So I'm sorry. And North Dakota had a first round exit. I host the FCS College Football Experience. Subscribe. They had a first round exit. Was it first round or second round? It might've been second round. They played like shit that game though. So I am all over these Fighting Hawks. Get this Ann Arbor bullshit out of here. You got your national championship. You got your burgers paid for by Jim Harbaugh and all that shit. All right. I'm sorry, you're going down there to Maryland Heights and you're getting a big old L right to the fucking face, buddy. What are you doing here?
So if you're looking for the unbiased handicap, Michigan chokes every fucking year, come in with a loaded roster and you choke. Like that's what Michigan does. At least the last 3 years we've had, in my opinion, the best team on paper, and they've choked either in the Frozen Four or in the regional before the Frozen Four, in one of those years. They lost a boatload of the talent that had kind of been funneled in through the program. But the holdovers haven't been bad this year either. Gavin Bridley, Rutger McGroarty, Seamus Casey, Frank Nazar. The talent's there for the Wolverines. Michigan, their issue has always kind of been on the defensive side of the puck. They have the ability to play solid defense. They just don't always have it every day, which is the issue. They've got plenty of depth back there as well. And then the goalie, Jake
Barshefsky. Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
Sorry.
We grabbed him in the transfer portal last year from Canisius. He played in the NCAA tournament. He's got tournament experience. You have to like that. This matchup, though, it's like two blue bloods going at it. North Dakota favored in this one, I believe. Minus 120 compared to minus 110. They are the sixth ranked team in the country. They're led by Hobie Baker finalist Jackson Blake. He was the NCHC Player of the Year. Cameron Berg, Owen McLaughlin, Reese Gaber. They're also huge pieces of this team. But North Dakota, in the same right, they kind of have lately choked before the Frozen Four. So 2016 was their last Frozen Four appearance. That was also the year of their last national championship. North Dakota's one of the most passionate hockey fan bases. I've already said that once before. They will, I mean, I think Bucci said it during the selection show for the NCAA tournament on ESPN. They will have fans camped out in the parking lot for this game because only I've heard 3,100 in capacity for the building will be allowed. There's going to be like 600 tickets standing room only.
Yes. Yes. This is what I'm talking about. Get yours. Even if you can't go to the game, you go to the parking lot, you're going to have a good time because they go after it hard.
They were like a hobo on a ham sandwich. They were going hard.
Tickets are going for like $1,200. So high demand, low supply. That is in effect here. I'm on Michigan. Like, just going off of recent years, Michigan's won the first round in the Frozen Four. That hasn't been the issue for us. North Dakota, it kind of has been. They have a speed bump there. Michigan, I think we fly through. And I hope that Western Michigan wins against Michigan State. Because then we could just walk right through Western Michigan after they, you know, celebrate after beating the in-state rival Michigan State. Michigan goes to the Frozen Four here out of this regional. The Maryland Heights, Missouri regional. That's my prediction.
I think this is North Dakota's region. I think Sparty gets knocked off by Western Michigan. I think North Dakota takes down Michigan, but it's a letdown moment for Western Michigan because you just beat your rivals that you fucking hate. I mean, somewhat rivals. I know Michigan's the bigger rivalry there, but you know what I mean? You still hate them. You have animosity for them. You finally beat the you know, the older brother, right? And I think the Fighting Hawks fight on. Let's go. Let's hop to the other side of the region. But before I do that, I want to tell you folks out there that the college hockey experience is brought to you by Manscaped. All right. Look, this Manscaped, it's a brand new year somewhat. It's March, you know. This year, don't just chase rainbows. Make your own pot of gold and groom your little leprechaun with the leaders in below the kilt care. Say goodbye to all that hair by your fucking dick with Manscaped's Lawnmower 5.0 and let your confidence shine bright. Shave your balls, people. They like it. Women like it. Just saying. Embrace the luck of the Irish and join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. Head over to manscaped.com. Use that promo code SGPN for 20% off plus free shipping. And look, I'm not going to bullshit you. I own 4 out of the 5 Manscaped's lawnmower editions, and they just sent me their new lawnmower 5.0. I have that shit right over here somewhere. Here it is right here. Look at this thing. This thing is fantastic. All right. And I can proudly say that I've found my bowl of Lucky Charms at the end of the rainbow with this fucking thing here. So get on over there, get that lawnmower 5.0 ultra. Look, it comes with 2 interchangeable next gen skin safe blade heads, 1 for the old classic trim, and 2, a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires. I don't need to know. I don't need to know, but call old Linda over, tell her you're going to have an excellent time. You know, maybe handle some business with the old foil blade. It's equipped with 2 dual LED spotlights. So shit, shaving your balls, you lose your keys, you're in the dark. Don't worry. We got you covered, whatever it is. All right. And if you're worried they're going to make a mess, don't you worry one bit, because this thing is waterproof. You could be sitting there playing ice hockey on a fucking pond and fall through. You could fall through the ice and decide, hey, it's a great time for me to shave my balls. All right. Or shave my ass or shave my girl's ass, whatever. Right. You ask for that. I'm sure you would have your lawnmower 5.0 in your duffel bag. Say, hey, tell one of your buddies to bring it over. Say, hey, don't bother me for the next 20 minutes. You're good. Boom. Waterproof. It's absolutely waterproof. You can do a fucking rain dance and shave your ass at the same time. So get yourself on over there. 20% off and free shipping with the promo code SGPN manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping. The promo code SGPN at manscaped.com. We're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. They're going to remind you that Grant Long used to be a Detroit Piston. They go deep. All right. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com. Use that promo code SGPN. You get 50% off your first month today. Start researching. Start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. All right, we are back on the College Hockey Experience. Biggest Scumbag says, never watched a single NCAA hockey game in my life, but I'm about to degen the fuck out. There we go. He's also going to shave his brown eye with his manscaper. There we go. There we go. I mean, look, I'm telling you, if you've never done it, this is a great introduction. Great introduction to me.
Both college hockey and shaving your pubes.
Well, that too. If you get the Lawnmower 5.0.
Trimming your pubes.
Let me just tell you, the Lawnmower 5.0 is the equivalent of like NHL 94. If you ever played that for Sega Genesis or Super Nintendo, but I mean,
No. It's like NHL 24 compared to NHL 94.
No, like the current NHL games suck ass compared to the Sega Genesis.
You just hate like anything that has tried to upgrade ever.
Games aren't as good, dude.
94 was great. NHL 25 is like way better.
Wow. He's just coming in.
NHL 24.
I suppose you think Madden's good too, because we get Madden every year in the office. And Madden is complete ass. Yeah,
Madden's ass.
Okay. Well, he sees the light in some scenarios, and I suppose he's going to tell me the new Ghostbusters is better than the OG too. Good God, let me pour some vodka on this note.
Yeah, not going there with the Ghostbusters either. What I will say.
Dan Aykroyd has great vodka, by the way. If you haven't had Dan Aykroyd's vodka, get yourself out there. Better than any Ghostbusters movie. What were you going to say? I'm sorry.
No, what I was going to say is that Major League 1 is better than Major League 2 and 3. That's the one that I'll throw up there.
I mean, Major League 3 is the worst fucking movie that ever happened on film. Yeah. I sure hope you say that. Yeah, look, let me tell you, no sequel is ever better than the original except for Terminator. Terminator 2 is better than 1. I'm trying to think. I think no other sequel is better. I think maybe you can make the case with the Austin Powers.
I got to think on that.
Name me, chat. Throw it out there. I see 207 people in here. Hit that like. Hit that subscribe. I don't think there's any sequels that are better. I know some people might try to Major League 2 bullshit. Look, Major League 2 is all right. I still dig it. But 1 is a classic. 2 is not that good. David says Naked Gun 33 and a third. I do love Naked Gun. All three are great. I'll actually say I think 2 is the best Naked Gun. So okay, you were partly correct there. 2 is the Godfather 2. They say Cannabis Capper. That's decent. That one actually. There's not many is my point. Like Die Hard 2. No, I like Die Hard 2, but it's just not Matrix Reloaded. No. Shout out to Clark Townsend in the chat. Says, I know nothing of college hockey, just here for the vibes and some great handicapping, because I can tell you, just to recap, if you're just coming in, we're on the under in the Boston College game against Michigan Tech. We are on the Aqueduct Quinnipiac to get it money line. We are on Western Michigan, the Broncos buck 'em. And then we have a little difference on old Michigan, and Noah's on the Wolverines. I'm on the Fighting Hawks of North Dakota. Yeah. Oh, Rocky IV.
I will say Rocky IV is in a sequel though. That's like what's a four.
Well,
like,
I think that's all I'm saying is any series.
Oh,
look, I love Rocky IV.
A movie after the original. Yeah. Okay.
Rocky IV is great, but the whole movie is a fucking montage. But it's not better than one. It's not better than one. I'll push back on that one. Die Hard 3 is great. It's better than 2, but 1's still better. 1's still better. And Die Hard 4 and 5 should be deleted from planet Earth. Maybe even, is there a 6? There might be a 6 too.
I don't know. The whole movie topic goes over my head when we talk movies. I don't know why I brought it up, because I was the one that said Major League.
But you said it too, like it was like a hot take. You know, Major League 1 is better than 2 and 3.
No, I didn't say it was like a hot take. I was saying, like, here's one that I'll offer up to you. I know this is true. And then you took it and ran with it.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Major League 1 to me is like, there's not many comedy movies on planet Earth better than Major League 1, in my opinion. It's in that, like, if I had to do like a top 25 comedies of all time, it would be in there.
Growing up, I loved the movie Slapshot only because some of the scenes with the triplets were fucking hilarious.
Slapshot's a classic. That's like a classic.
They did make a shitty
sequel too with like a Baldwin or something.
Yes. That was terrible. But no, like the scenes with the triplets were fucking hilarious on the ice and in the hotel room when they were fucking around the toy cars.
Paul Newman is fucking G. All right.
Oh yeah. Like, he's sick. I had a Newman, I had a Dunlop jersey t-shirt. If you know what I mean.
Oh, I do know what you mean. All right. Look, we gave the people out.
And now I look like one of the triplets, and I have a jersey, a Hanson jersey that I wore for Halloween 1 year.
You also had Hanson's first album on vinyl. Bop, get the fuck out of here with that. Now we're hopping over to the Springfield Regional, which the first game on Thursday tips right here. Denver, your boys, the Pioneers, taking on UMass. The only problem is Springfield, obviously the home of this is Springfield, Massachusetts, I believe, right, Beanick? Right?
Yeah, this is a home regional.
It's the home of the Basketball Hall of Fame. But
so there was a little bit of drama here. Boston U is technically the 2 seed here. However, they didn't really get a region or just like a region close to them. They got sent out to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, because UMass is the host here. So they won the bid. They're hosting. The 4 seed is basically playing home games. In general, Denver is playing 2 road games here because Maine and Cornell are also going to travel to Springfield.
It is hilarious because normally when you get sent to Sioux Falls, it's normally for something terrible. I think Boston can rejoice in the fact that they're going to Sioux Falls to play hockey. Denver, UMass. I find this is the first game that slaps off. And I can't wait for this one. Okay. Cause you have Denver 28-9-3 against UMass, and UMass will have the crowd, I think 20-13 on the season. Once again, Thursday, 2 PM Eastern, ESPN2. What are we doing? We got March Madness and we got other.
What would
March
you
Madness
here, Colby? Cause Denver's coach, David Carl, has clamored for home regionals for the 1 seeds. Obviously that favors his team because Denver's one of the only and one of the best West Coast programs. They always get fucked by the draw and they always have to go East, especially this year playing basically road games.
Wait, a sport with an East Coast bias?
So
a college sport with an East Coast bias?
He would like 1 seeds to host regionals. How would you prefer that? Do you want them on the host sites, like actual host sites? Or like last year, Michigan got fucked up by this because they had to play a road game at Penn State to get to the Frozen Four.
I'm on board with them. And I
usually
think
like 4 or 3 seeds for some reason get to host, and it's always weird, and it changes year by year, and it's decided 4 or 5 years in advance. It's fucked.
But I think if you want to grow the game, you know, we know Arizona State's sinking money in their college athletics hockey team, and to me, if you want to grow the game, you know, there's no reason. I know the Southern teams don't really play college hockey, but why?
Yeah.
Western or Southern, you have an opportunity to if you want to grow the game, to me, it makes sense. You might suffer the first couple of years, you know, with fans, or they'll all be Denver fans. I don't know. But also for my, it doesn't matter what it is. Northeasterners love to go West, you know, I'm one of them. And to me, like, any opportunity you get to, if you play this thing in Vegas, play it in Arizona. You kidding me? It's still cold on the East Coast. Get out to Arizona, get shit hammered in Scottsdale, something like that, or Vegas or California. Go to the beach, something like that. You know, so I'm with them. Even Colorado's beautiful. Go on a fucking hike, eat some granola, all that shit. Smoke some weeds, do some mushrooms.
I would prefer 1 seeds to host. However, I think I like the set regionals in popular areas compared to your idea. No offense.
Well, I mean,
just think you don't want empty arenas. I'm against empty arenas.
I understand that, but you have to, sometimes you have to crawl to walk. And to me, if you want the game to grow, I think that's your best avenue, but it's okay. You might want the game to pull up, get a nice 100,000 views on ESPN Plus, on ESPN 35, something like that. But anyway, let's get to this because I'm fascinated by this matchup. I'm going to watch this game. And I'll be honest, out of the first round matchups, this is one of the ones that caught my eye the most. It's UMass and Denver. Denver's laying 1.5 minus 105. UMass plus 105 at minus 125 on the puck line. Total sitting at 7. The over is juiced to plus 115. Money line. UMass with the home crowd behind them plus 190. Denver is minus 250. I don't think Denver's falling for this bullshit. All right. Going to go all the way out to Massachusetts. I think they're coming there with attitude. You can hear it in their coach speak. I think it goes chalk. What are you doing here?
Yeah, I think Mel actually would be even more qualified to talk about Denver than I am, but I'll do my best. I'll start with UMass too, because this is stat number one. If you're looking to handicap the game and just pick Denver. Because UMass's record against the pairwise top 15 is 1-8, 1 win, 8 losses, 2 ties. Denver is 11-7. However, it is tough to play on the road in any college sport. For college hockey, it's no different. UMass is the regional host here. Minutemen goalie Michael Rabel is another super solid goaltender who may be able to steal this home game. That's a big advantage for UMass here, as the Pioneers really kind of, like, if you're poking one hole into the Pioneers, it's that they haven't really figured out their situation in between the pipes. As a team, they rank 46th out of 64 D1 teams in save percentage.
Manscapes 5.0, Lawnmower Ultra.
Yeah, there we go.
Between the pipes, fix a lot of things. Sorry, continue.
No, I mean, that's a little bit of an issue. 46th out of 64 in save percentage, and they're flip-flopping goalies early in the year. Denver, though, they are a program that I consider myself a sucker for the Pioneers, and frankly, Boston U as well, for that matter. They're both kind of like a Kansas basketball to me. With the Jayhawks' most recent title, I always, before they won that, I always picked KU too far in my bracket. I fall for DU every year. I fall for BU every year. Consider me doing it here once again with Denver. The name to know here for the Pioneers is Jack DeVine. He's third nationally in goals scored. The Pioneers, they're hoping to get Massimo Rizzo back from injury. Rizzo has been out of the lineup since February 3rd. However, before being sidelined, he was one of the top point scorers in the country. He was sixth in points per game before his injury, with 1.57 points per game before the injury. I'm on Denver here. I don't know if I want to lay the minus 250 price. What I'd end up doing here is take the under 7, personally, minus 145. I don't think UMass scores a ton. I do think Denver has their way. This one might even be a minus 1. You know what? I'm going to scratch the under. I'm going to take Denver on the money, on the puck
line. Yes, I was just about to say that.
I think they win this game 4-1, 5-1. I think it stays under the total, but honestly, like, with the way I'm kind of forecasting this thing, I think Denver covers the puck line a little bit more comfortably than the total here going under.
I'm with you. I'll lay the 1.5 with Denver. Start your football program back up. Why the fuck have you not played football since 1960? You fucking jackasses. Let's go, Denver. Mel, what do we got to do to get the program rolling? All right. Maine, Cornell, the Black Bears. Oh man, you know I love me some Maine Black Bears. They're the original Cocaine Bears. Shout out to the days of Mike Buck. Maine's laying 1.5. That's plus 195, by the way, if you want to lay that 1.5 on the puck line. Cornell plus 1.5 at minus 260. The over under just at 5. A little defensive struggle. Plus 105 for the Big Red. Maine is minus 135 on the money line. Private school pussies against flagship program. I'll take Maine minus 1.5 here. Now, I'm intrigued on that over under. So they're both just defensive teams. So maybe you don't want to lay the minus. I'll just lay the minus 135 and I'll go with these Black Bears to get it done. Chalk is speaking. What are you doing here?
I think a pup is barking here. I'm going to go with Cornell. Maine, they've had a huge year. It's their first tournament since 2012. And now that I'm reading my note here, I might have been wrong on the exact year that Michigan State's last NCAA tournament was, because I might have been thinking about Maine. However, the Black Bears, they've had an outstanding...
I'm sorry.
Outstanding year. They had a really good recruiting class in Ben Barr's third year at the helm here, which resulted in a super fun but also super young team that doesn't have a single senior defenseman, and they only have one junior defenseman. Typically in college hockey, just I guess the way that I view it at least, you like your young studs as the forwards. Those guys typically get plucked by the NHL and the other pro leagues, but the big guys on the back end, they're experienced, they're there for the passion of college hockey, let's say. Maine doesn't quite have that. So the youth on the back end is a little bit concerning, but also just is a testament to how good this team's been defying
it.
Offensively, they've got two studs, two brothers, Bradley and Josh Nadeau, headline the squad for Maine. The brothers have combined for 37 goals and over 80 points. However, I think Cornell is equipped to be able to hinder those two. Head coach Mike Schaefer has been there forever, and his teams pretty much are carbon copies of each other. Big, physical, and defensive-minded. Cornell, they have their work cut out for them, stopping that Maine dynamic duo. However, you know, if they get by Maine, they also have a great chance against the high-flying Pioneers, which would be the team waiting next year. If anybody can suffocate those two offenses, it would be the Big Red. Cornell is 17-3 with five ties since Thanksgiving. Instead of the Big Red, it's red hot. And I think this matchup, I think
it's easy to see a tide turn.
Suits them well, and they are going to pull off the upset here, and they're going to give Denver all they can handle in that second round too.
No, I'm on Maine, and Denver is coming out of this region. Me and Mel know a thing or two about a thing or two. What are you doing here?
I have Denver coming out of the region too, but that Denver Cornell game is going to be very fun to watch.
All right, let's move over to Sioux Falls, where the Boston Terriers, you know, I have a bone to pick with Boston because, you know, they canceled their football program in 97. And I've been pissed about that for a while. You know, and them in Northeastern, but Boston did this shit with like the CTE, which I find some of their science bullshit. And even worse is I find it ironic that you endorse hockey, but not football. Like that shit doesn't exist in hockey. You're all fucked up over there, Terriers. All right. You're all fucked up. Stick to your story. All right. You can't have one side of this argument, but the Terriers, it doesn't matter how much I dislike them from an institutional standpoint. They're taking on RIT. What does RIT stand for, Benick? Do you know that one?
Rochester Institute of Technology.
There we go. Just testing you, see if you got that knowledge. RIT needs to start their football program too, as far as I know. BU's laying 2.5 minus 105. RIT is minus 125 on the puck line. When it comes to the total, it's 6.5 is the over under, but it is juiced to the over. Minus 125 on the over 6.5. Money line plus 340 for RIT. BU minus 500. I smell a juicy dog here. You know, I can't trust this Boston Terrier bullshit. All right. They can't get their facts right. They're all over the fucking place. They have been relevant since fucking Bill Brooks was catching touchdowns for them in the fucking 1980s. All right. I know they've been dominant in hockey. All right. They've been relevant, I guess, in hockey, but this RIT program, I think they're going to shock the world. Benick, you on board? You on board with this RIT upset in Sioux Falls? You go to Sioux Falls, bad things happen when you go to Sioux Falls. All right.
Ask Billy the kid
what happened when he went to Sioux Falls. Got a fucking herpes.
I'm not quite there, but I can see kind of what's leading you to believe that RIT has a shot here. They have the right DNA to pull off the massive upset. According to College Hockey News, they are the oldest team in college hockey, which I know Colby's going to love that term. But I do have to say that it's a double-edged sword because, yes, they have plenty of experience, but also pro teams don't really want many of those players because if they're drafted, then they get pulled off the rosters.
That means that's the last hurrah.
Yeah, and whereas Boston U, they have plenty of guys that are coveted by the pros. They're young. They're pretty much 1-2 years. They're done. So RIT should have a chip on their shoulder, and their goalie, Tommy Scarfone, is also stellar.
Great fucking name.
Tommy Scarfone.
That is a guy. He eats ass. Anyway, continue on that one.
So he's led the Tigers to the nation's third best golds against average. And Scarfone is borderline unconscious when the two teams play on 5-on-5. But that's the catch. The deal breaker is that RIT takes the fifth most penalty minutes per game, scratch that, not per game, but they have the fifth most penalty minutes in the country this year with 507. But I know that appeals to Colby. He likes the physical nature. He likes that they're going to play rough and tough. They're not going to let the finesse team go by.
You're goddamn right. BU. Tony Scarfone, Zamboni, he knows what the fuck he's doing.
But I'm just saying this. If you're being undisciplined and you're taking stupid penalties, though, Boston has the third most efficient power play in the country. That's going to kill our IT here. Boston University's recipe starts with a 17-year-old phenom named Macklin Celebrini, who is going to be the 2024 number one overall pick in the NHL draft. I mean, he's hands down number one.
He's already thinking about the draft.
So, I mean, there's also another great angle
motivation
for
here.
But he's been thinking about the draft the entire year. He's got 31 goals, 59 points, which is just absolutely absurd in the Hockey East with so many eyes and attention on it. And the kid's just 17 years old.
Well, that's the best. So, look, a strong physical veteran team, first thing when he gets on the ice, you better break his fucking nose. All right? Go over there and break his fucking nose.
They have cages. So the nose won't be able to be broken.
Okay, break his fucking wrist. All right? Do something. Punch the bastard. All right?
So, yeah. I'm going with the special teams handicap. I don't think this one's really going to be that close. RIT is going to be in the penalty box for their fair share. Give me the Terriers here.
Chalk. Fucking guy. Why do we get you on the show? All right. All you do is chalk plays. The folks want winners. They want fucking winners. All right.
Giving out winners. Winners and chalk.
Minnesota. And Omaha, Trev Alberts canceled Omaha's football program, then left for Nebraska. Hilarious. What a jackass. Now he's at A&M and they find out that he is that true piece of shit they knew he to be. Minnesota, the Golden Gophers taking on Omaha. I'm intrigued by this matchup there in Sioux Falls. This one is one of the ones that actually caught my eye besides the UMass Denver game as one that I'm super fascinated to watch. The Gophers are -1.5 on the puck line, +105. Omaha +1.5, -135. The over under set at 6, but it's juiced towards the over at a +110, the under at -140. Money line play for the Mavericks +185. Minnesota's -245. Get this Big Ten bullshit out of here. The Mavericks are coming for it. And I got a feeling the Mavericks have been to Sioux Falls a little more than these Gophers.
Yeah, they're the host team, by the way, in this regional. So they are going to have a little bit of crowd advantage. Minnesota's going to travel. That's not going to be the issue. So it's basically just on the distance, the proximity to Sioux Falls. Here is closer for fans and closer for the team. However, I kind of agree with you on Omaha. Minnesota has just really been inconsistent this year. I mean, the talent is never a question with the Golden Gophers. However, they're young, they're inconsistent, especially on the defensive side, which makes them an upset candidate if they're not bringing their A game on the back end every day. Omaha, they've been red hot since the middle of January. They played in the NCHC championship game. They fell to Denver. But like I said, they've been playing their best hockey lately. And They've got plenty of depth on the front end, the back end. They have a pretty good goalie there too. Omaha is just a good upset candidate. I'm going to take the Mavs to beat the Golden Gophers here in round one.
And they know Boston Sioux Falls, buddy.
Boston over Omaha to get to the Frozen Four.
They know where all the dive bars are at. They know where they can drink after hours. They know where the strip clubs are at. You better believe me. The fans are going to know. The Mavericks are going to know.
They're begging us. Please have a party. Feed us drinks. Get us laid.
So, oh, yeah. Plus 185, not a bad sprinkle there. Not one of my favorite dogs this tournament. I do think this is more like a 50-50 game. But when you're saying 50-50 and you get a plus 185 price, you gotta entertain it for sure. So I like the Mavs there.
I got news for you, buddy.
I have the Terriers coming out of the region.
No. You're full of shit. RIT. I'm going to get me some fucking Ritz crackers to watch these fucking games. Dip it in my tomato soup. Because I'm winning money, baby.
Hey,
RIT comes out of this and they make a statement. They're old. They've been waiting for this and they're ready to break fucking noses, whether they got a mask on or not.
The matchup wise, like they draw a terrible matchup with. Just by the fact that Boston's going to take advantage when they fuck up disciplinary wise. But RIT is going to be a fun team to watch.
They're coming out of
there.
If they
pull off the upset, they've got the experience, you know, they've got the chip on the shoulder, like Colby likes.
Slap off. Let's go.
So the Tigers are fun, but I'm on the Terriers here.
Well, you're chuck, you're boring, and all that good bullshit. Team futures. You know there's team futures on this fucking thing, by the way. Let's get out of here, I will sprinkle.
So we gotta talk about the Final Four.
Okay.
So my Frozen Four teams are Boston College against Michigan, and then I've got Denver against Boston.
No.
Played in St. Paul.
We got RIT taking on Denver. Right? We got Quinnipiac, the Aqueduct, taking on, unfortunately, the Fighting Hawks for your sake. And in my opinion, Quinnipiac's going back to defend their title. But the only problem is these Denver Pioneers are going to fuck them up. Denver is bringing it home. Bringing it home to bacon.
You're falling for this DU squad.
I'm all aboard. All right, DU. Yeah, they're going to use this extra money to start their football program. They're going to have running backs, tight ends, all that bullshit soon.
I'm falling for the Pioneers right there with you. I got them in the championship game. However, I have them losing to the team that I just think is far better than anybody else in the country this year, and that's Boston College. They win it. It's chalk, but chalk wins sometimes. I'm going with BC. They're plus 250 on the future.
The Pioneers honestly, are plus 650, buddy. What are you talking about? You got to sprinkle that if you think they're going to be in the game.
Honestly, I don't think they're going to be in the game. Oh, I honestly think that Denver's got losable games. They're playing a road game at UMass, then they're playing a road game against Cornell or Maine, whoever takes on them in the second round. Maine's got a nice story going right now this year. Boston College has a little bit of a cakewalk. Like, that's the easiest path to the Frozen Four this season, in my opinion. And also, just you would be getting a Michigan State squad that's never been there, like, quite literally, haven't been there in a decade. You'd be getting a Michigan team that chokes. You'd be getting a North Dakota team that chokes. Or you'd be getting a Western Michigan team that's just not consistent. Boston College has a total cakewalk of the champion.
I got three sprinkles I'm doing. Denver plus 650. North Dakota plus 900 and RIT plus 7,500. Woo! Woo-hoo-hoo! Get your Ritz crackers. Get your tomato soup.
I laugh.
You gotta crush that shit up in the soup. What?
I laugh, but a four seed getting to the Frozen Four is not impossible. However, the four seed winning it all is a little bit less likely. But in the 16-team tournament, you're talking about a four seed being quite literally, it could be the 13th best team in the country. But I like BC. I really do. Like, that top half of the bracket is...
I guess you never saw a miracle.
100% just like total cakewalk. I would solo shot this thing. And if you're not doing BC, what I would do is I would spray him. Colby has three shots. However, he does have North Dakota on the bottom half of the bracket on the top two quadrants.
Oh yeah.
That's not the way I would attack it. I would triple shot the Denver or BU regions, honestly. I would sprinkle a little bit on Cornell to get out of there. Cornell is 25-1. I would sprinkle a little bit on Denver plus 650. And I would sprinkle just a little bit on BU plus 500. Those would be the three teams that I like personally to get out of the bottom half and play BC in the final. You get a shot with any of those three teams. It's a hockey game. Fluky shit happens. You could get a couple of lucky penalties going your way. You could get a couple of fast breaks going your way. Odd man rushes. You have it. And BC loses the game in the final. But I like the Eagles this year. I really do. They got it.
ACC is already killing it in basketball. You know my theory. They can't do it in multiple sports. You're going to lose. You're going to lose big.
It's right? Hockey East. Different all than right? ACC.
Folks, subscribe to the College Experience on YouTube. YouTube.com/thecollegeexperience. Hit that like, hit that subscribe. Let us know if you like us even covering Frozen Four and, you know, college hockey, NCAA hockey.
If you like this duo, we're covering college baseball year round.
College baseball experience, college basketball experience, FCS college football experience, the regular college football experience. Get on over there and don't forget the CFL gambling podcast, which I'll be hosting, as well as the UFL gambling podcast, Real Football, where you still have a real kickoff and you tackle people, unlike the National Football League, which is bullshit. Phoenix, anything else?
No, I don't think so. Check out the Hockey Gambling Podcast.
Those guys are awesome. Yes.
So if you're listening to this on their feed, we're the College Experience, but also if you're listening to this on the College Experience feed, check them out. Hockey Gambling Podcast, baby.
Hockey. Let's go. I can't wait to watch this weekend's action. Until next time, folks, this is the College Hockey Experience. You better start thinking about yours. And we out of here. Run and shoot.